turned it down. Welcome back to The Zone.
Lighting up your midday in the Fury Electric Studio
on the Buzz Radio Network.
Welcome back. For those of you who are working for a living, we appreciate you. Hope we're making your day go by a little quicker, because
this ain't working.
No. I wouldn't say it's the exact opposite of working, but it's closer to not working than working.
It's sitting around and talking.
Yes, which everybody else does while they're working.
That's true. They just don't get paid to do it.
Yeah, we're doing exactly what you're doing, except for the whole work part of it. Thanks again to Clint McDonald for coming in. What a good guy. Great pipes, too.
He was awesome. Oh, you're right. I would trade a lot for that voice.
Yeah, no doubt.
Of course, I don't look the part.
No, you don't. He's 300 pounds. You're 130 pounds. Ish.
A little more.
142.
I'm losing weight, but not that much.
You look fantastic. Also, Dominique Magruder. Appreciate those guys. Again, the camp is Wednesday, Dupree Park, benefiting Jacksonville Boys and Girls Club. And we were talking about his contract in the break. He doesn't necessarily need to make any money off this camp. So it's nice of him to donate it all, which a lot of guys wouldn't. But he's certainly in good shape.
I think it's outstanding he's giving away a scholarship. That is just awesome.
Better yet, 25 of them.
Yeah, that 25 was cool. Of
yeah,
them.
First 25, he said they called. Yeah.
Goodness gracious.
So there you go. 982-6418. 501-982-6418 if you want to get your young person involved in the Clinton McDonald camp. I can guarantee you they will be around a fine individual and a very good young defensive player for the Seattle Seahawks. Ah, to be 26 with so much potential. I was 26 with very little potential, and luckily I realized it. Woo! Yay for me. Breaking news out of ESPN, and let me get the proper music in place here, Bill. Phil, I just called you Bill. Phil, before we go to that, because this is, we want to give it its due. It may be just rumors, but if it's on ESPN, we can go with it.
I feel like I have to do my best Ted Koppel voice with this,
yes.
Which I don't have one.
Luckily, you don't have Ted Koppel hair either. Give it to me.
I don't have much hair.
No, you have better hair than Ted Koppel does.
Looks like the Clippers are thinking about considering trading Blake Griffin and Eric Bledsoe to, you know, the team across the hall for Dwight Howard. I mean, this is just coming across ESPN right now that the Clips are interested in acquiring Dwight Howard by trading their second marquee player, probably trying to keep their top marquee player. Because you hear the rumors about Chris Paul wanting to hook up perhaps with Dwight Howard in a couple of areas, maybe. Heard Atlanta's one of them, Houston be another. So this is the Clippers making their play to keep Chris Paul happy and to keep him in the Staples Center.
I mean, if you're the owner, don't you sit back and go, gee, we already fired the coach for you. I mean, isn't that enough? Does he not like playing with Blake Griffin? How can you not like playing with that dude? I mean, he's an assist-making machine. I mean, you throw the ball up, he dunks it. That's the easiest assist you're ever going to get. Now, you can make that argument for Dwight Howard, but I'd much rather have Blake Griffin.
It would seem like, I mean, looking at what happened this last year, certainly.
Yeah.
You can't really be very impressed with the things that happened with Howard this season.
I'm not.
And, you know, Blake Griffin, he still seems to be a work in progress. I know his shot's gotten a lot better, but goodness, he's such an incredible athlete, and he doesn't seem to come with that baggage that Howard now comes with.
He's the guy that... And I took him for granted for a while. I was like, he's just a highlight reel guy, you know. You start looking at his numbers, this dude is a double-double walking. Yeah. I mean, he is a bad man.
Incredibly athletic. I mean, his ability to jump is, I mean, he could jump out of the building. I mean, he does not have great range with his jumper. I'm not necessarily sure if he needs it.
He will, but right now he can
eventually,
survive without
it. Now he's athletic enough. But it's real. That's an interesting-looking trade because... I mean, when's the last time the Clippers and the Lakers got involved in a deal? I don't pay attention to the...
I was going to say, we'll probably look back and go, it was like last year, but
I guess
yeah.
It happens a little more often, but that's really surprising.
Game balls and jockstraps, Phil. It's 11:31. Let's go to it right now, and you have a very interesting one, and this one is, as you pointed out, an inanimate object. It's hard to do this, but it's certainly applicable.
Well, and you know, the ballpark in Major League Baseball that probably is in the worst shape of any is in Oakland, California. The Oakland Coliseum, which opened in 1966, I think it's the only multi-purpose facility still being used in Major League Baseball, as it obviously houses the Raiders, too. Well, yesterday... after the Athletics game was complete, it turned out that the sewage system backed up in both clubhouses and the umpire's locker room.
Oh.
And you know what happens when sewage systems back up.
Hey, you know what they say? Crap happens.
and it happened all over the clubhouses. Oakland and Seattle were forced to shower together in the Raiders locker room, which I guess was not affected by this happenstance.
No, that's the least of the problems in the Raiders locker room, with all due respect to Darren McFadden.
That's true, but I guess it would be apropos if it happened in that clubhouse, in that locker. They don't call football locker rooms clubhouses.
No, they don't.
Baseball locker rooms are clubhouses.
That's right.
Anyway.
I only have one thing to say about sewage backing up in the clubhouse. I actually had that happen one time when I was in college, a house we were renting that happened. Needless to say, not cool.
Happened in a hotel room I was staying in Bakersfield, California.
Well, that's actually all of Bakersfield, California.
And that was the 5-star hotel in Bakersfield.
They have one?
Kidding.
Okay. It's a Motel 5.
Right, yes.
By that you mean 5-star, yes.
Motel 2.5.
Right. That's disgusting. That's one of the grosser things I've ever heard.
But look, I mean, everybody knows that the Athletics need a new home, whether it's in Oakland, whether it's in San Jose, whether it's in Laredo, Texas. They need a new home. That ballpark is so antiquated, out of date, and now their pets' heads are falling off in their laps, essentially. So come on. The Giants are the team that's holding this up, because the Athletics could move to San Jose in a new ballpark built in a pretty big town, but that is Giants territory. Actually, it was ceded by the Athletics to the Giants, I think, in the 80s, and the Giants will not give it back. And so this is the real sticking point why the Athletics are stuck in this terrible place with the sewage backing up. So it's a black eye for Major League Baseball. Got to get them out of Oakland. At least get them out of that park.
I hate to say that they're obviously they've got infrastructure issues there, but I've been to that ballpark in the last 5, 6, 7 years. It's a good place to watch a ball game. It's not a bad ballpark at all.
It used to be better, and I never went to a game there, but you know that giant, they call it Mount Davis, the big 4th or 5th deck out past center field, which essentially is what Oakland built to bring the Raiders back from Los Angeles. It ruined the setting for baseball. From what I've heard from a lot of people that went to A's games before Mount Davis was built, you could see the beautiful Oakland Hills in the background, and it was a very calm, peaceful setting. And now you're looking at this giant monolith, which you know, baseball parks need beautiful settings to be an enjoyable place. It helps if you have a good team, with which the A's do. Obviously, they've got the top record in the American League right now. But it goes deeper than your enjoyment of the ballpark, because right now, first and foremost, you have to have facilities that players can use, and you can't dress in a clubhouse where poop is coming up out of the floor. I'm sorry.
You said poop.
I did. I did. And
it's all it poop.
It's a terrible thing. I mean, this is something. This is Major League Baseball's been trying to get a new ballpark built in Oakland for years now, and they're no closer now than they were 10 years ago. It would just help tremendously if the Giants would give up San Jose, which honestly, I don't see how the A's moving to San Jose hurts the Giants very much, because I mean the Giants are the marquee team in the Bay Area. No matter what's going on in Oakland, the Giants are the marquee team there, and they have been for a long time, probably the last 20-25 years. So I don't know, it just seems like it would make sense if they would give it up and the Athletics could move to San Jose with a brand new ballpark, because they need it.
The last time I heard the word poop used was in Billy Madison.
You have to pick your spots.
And they lit a bag on fire on that guy's front porch. And the wife shilling from it said, "Don't put it out with your boot, Ted. Oh, it's poop." Okay,
my
moving
game
on.
Ball goes to the San Diego Padres. The Padres coming out of nearly nowhere. They've won 6 in a row. They're getting right in the thick of the race in the National League West, 2 games out, half a game behind San Francisco, and doing it with doing it in, I guess, in ways that people wouldn't have expected. This is a team that's got a lot of players that aren't really known very well.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe because it's San Diego. But that's a team to watch out for.
San Diego.
Uh-huh.
Drink it in. Did you watch the highlights of the brawl last week?
I did. You're talking about the D-backs and the Dodgers.
Yes, D-backs and the Dodgers, acting more like D-bags and the Dodgers than anything else.
The brawl, which looked like a highlight, which really looked like it was a battle royal from 1984, involving some great players from that era. I mean, you saw
Matty Williams and Mark McGwire.
Mark McGwire grabbing on
to
Kirk Gibson. And just think of the irony of Gibson, who provided the Dodgers with one of the great moments in that franchise's history, really one of the great moments in sports history, I think.
Golfed one out and hobbled around the bases.
Right, and now as the D-backs manager, and he's you know, involved in a scrum on the field where he hit this incredible home run. And he's being grabbed by Mark McGwire, of all people. I mean, Don Baylor was in on that.
Yeah.
You already mentioned Matt Williams, Gibson, McGwire, Mattingly.
Yeah.
That's not even the players that were on the field at that time. Those are the coaches.
I only heard the Diamondbacks call on it. I didn't hear Vin Scully's call, but I would like to have heard if he said, "I can't believe what I just saw," again. Okay, so punishment's been handed down as expected. Ian Kennedy, the D-backs pitcher, gets 10 games for intentionally throwing at Zach Greinke. Infielder Eric Hinsky, former Razorback, gets a 5-game suspension for leaving the dugout and his aggressive actions during the incidents. J.P. Howell and Skip Schumaker of the Dodgers received 2-game suspensions. Mark McGwire got a 2-game suspension. The Dodgers pitcher, Ronald Belisario, 1-game suspension. I'm not done. Don Mattingly got a 1-game suspension for actions of his club and his conduct during the incident. Kirk Gibson got a 1-game suspension for the intentional actions of Kennedy after warning had been issued. Goodness gracious. You need a scorecard to keep track of that.
Well, and Kennedy is appealing this 10-game suspension, but the reason he's been suspended, and essentially it's a 10-game suspension, but it's two starts for a starting pitcher, is that it's where he threw the ball. It was up at the guy, at the batter's head, mm-hmm. twice, which is a no-no. Ian Kennedy ought to be thanking his lucky stars that those guys actually didn't get hit in the head.
How do you feel about brawls and the way they should be punished in general? Because some people are making the statement, you just can't have this crap anymore. Let the two guys go at it like in hockey, if that's what you have to do. Look, if a guy throws a ball at my head, he's going to get his. I'm going to go after him, and I may get beaten up like Robin Ventura, but I'm going after a pitcher because you're talking about not only my career, but my life, potentially. I mean, you can really mess somebody up. And what's it going to take? Somebody getting hit in the face and having a career-ending injury? I mean, it could be anything. I mean, you could blind a guy.
I don't want to see fights in baseball. I mean,
Would you like to see stiffer penalties? Because the thing is, if I say, hey, look, if you leave the dugout, you're going to be suspended for 25 games. That will stop it immediately. That's all they have to do. Major League Baseball is not willing to do what they have to do to keep this crap from happening. That's all it takes.
25 games would be a rather stiff suspension.
It's an unbelievably stiff suspension, but if you want to stop this garbage from happening, that's what you have to do.
I don't want to see fights the same way that you see hockey. It's not a part of the sport, and I understand that there are some people that don't think that that fighting is a part of hockey. That's incorrect.
I hate it, but I understand.
It's been a part of it
for
over 100 years, and the proof is when you see two guys circle around each other, and everybody else stays away, mm-hmm. for the most part. You see some bench-clearing scrums in hockey, that's when you know something really messed up just happened.
Right.
In baseball, I don't want to see two guys going at it because they don't know how to fight in that context. It's not a part of the sport. Someone's going to get hurt incredibly if you're going one-on-one in baseball. Look what happened with Carlos Quentin and Zach Greinke. You know, all they did was essentially do the same drill that NFL players do day after day, just minus the shoulder pads.
Right, that's the important part.
Right, and Greinke, you know, cracks his collarbone and is out for a month and a half. Maybe increasing the suspensions might have something to do with it. But on the other hand, the culture in baseball is that everybody in that clubhouse has everybody else is back.
I understand that, Phil. But there has to be somebody. Because here's my thing: if I'm at that game with my kids, that was ugly. It's offensive.
It was.
I don't want to see that. I'm not there for that crap. You know what I mean? So I think it's gutless by Major League Baseball not stepping in and saying there's going to be harsher penalties. And you know what? If you tell a guy you're going to lose 25 games worth of salary, he ain't getting out of the dugout. Sorry, fellas, can't do it. Can't afford it. Can't have it.
Well, and then what happens in a charging incident? You know, nobody's coming out of the dugout, and then essentially you get 9-on-1, a batter charging with four other infielders and a catcher around him, and nobody else is there to help.
This is not going
to
happen. I mean, it's never happened.
Oh, they'll go after him. The first thing that happens when a batter drops his bat and heads out towards the mound is the catcher tries to catch him.
They protect him, but I don't think they're going to pile on the guy and start pummeling him in a sort of a gang fashion. I just don't see it happening. But who knows? I mean, again, you can lay this out and say, if you do this, this is going to happen. If you do that, this is going to happen. I mean, I think the 10-game suspension, I don't care. I don't like – here's the thing. plunking a guy I totally disagree with in the same way I do with hockey, but just like hockey, I understand why it goes on. So to me, that's got to be the end of it, though. You hit my guy, I hit your guy, we move on. I don't like it. I don't like the retaliation factor of it. I think it's a little bit childish. I think it's also dangerous. But the bottom line is I'm willing to accept it. You know what I'm saying? I'm willing to concede that that's part of the sport and the history of the game.
The way that you put it, you're correct, is that you hit my guy, I hit your guy, we move on. They didn't move on. It kept going.
Right.
And it might continue. I mean, the Dodgers and D-backs have both said this is not over
yet.
The
funny thing is they play an extra inning game the next day,
right?
Which is hilarious.
And they're in the same division. I mean, these guys are going to see each other quite a bit.
Yeah.
It ain't over yet. Stay tuned.
On a happier note, Mariano Rivera going out. Is this akin to Kareem Abdul-Jabbar's farewell?
Absolutely. It is absolutely akin to Kareem. I'm just waiting for somebody to give Mariano the rocking chair before a game like Kareem got.
Exactly. You know, we had Kareem on a while back. We asked him about it, and he didn't remember much except for one of the most heartfelt gifts he got was somebody has got him CDs of a bunch of jazz music because he had a big fire at his house, mm-hmm. and all his old school jazz albums burned up in the fire. So one of the places he stopped, I can't remember which one it was, but they gave him all new jazz albums.
You know,
that was cool.
The funny thing about these farewell tours, and I saw it with Ozzie Smith when he came through in 96 in Pittsburgh, and everybody loved Ozzie. So, I mean, you really wanted a chance to say goodbye to a guy that really gave you so many great memories, even if he was from, you know, the St. Louis Cardinals, a team that, you know, I was no fan of. But with Rivera, remember when he pitches. I mean, he might not pitch in a game that he's being feted, but that, look what happened against the Mets. I forget what they gave him, but there was a pregame ceremony honoring Rivera. I'm sure there are a lot of Mets fans that aren't big Rivera fans, but you're going to respect the fact that he's
right.
the greatest reliever ever.
Plus, you're happy to see him go.
You're very happy to see him go, and then they beat him in the ninth inning. Something they'd never done before.
See, there you go. That's the way to send him out.
Right. Yeah, with a loss.
Right, exactly. So, as part of the farewell tour, apparently he has been paying some kindnesses, and I don't know if delivering pizza is going to be a standard part of it, but apparently when they were in the aforementioned Oakland, he delivered a pizza to a longtime Oakland employee, so that was pretty cool. Now,
well, he might want to break out a sewer snake and go to work.
I love it. So anyway, I will give him credit for that. All right, if you want in, 433-1037 or 1-800-477-1037, we come back. We're going to play a new game, at least a game that's going to take place for the rest of the week and beyond. Is it next week, too?
10 days.
10 days. Started today. It's called Red, White, and Who. We will ask
you. Red, White, and Who?
I like it better the way you say it.
Thanks.
Was that Scooby?
What was the thing they had you doing on the morning show the other day?
A boozy, boozy, bop.
Oh, yeah.
Diddy bop.
You can
Diamond
scat.
Dave.
You're Scatman Crothers, man.
He's Diamond Dave. Anyway, we'll give you a chance to win a very, very cool Budweiser cooler as part of our Red, White, and
Who?
Question of the day. It's 11:45.